Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
From the WEEI studios, brought to you by DuckDuckGo. Privacy simplified.
Heard in Boston and throughout all six New England states.
Sports Radio 93.7, WEEI FM and HD1 Lawrence, Boston.
An Odyssey station.
NFL Sunday.
NFL Sunday is brought to you by
Ketch's Law Group, the personal injury pros at ketcheslaw.com.
The New England Recovery Center in Westboro, Mass.
Zooty. Build any app your company needs in 1 week. Visit Zooty.com for details.
And the New England Kubota Tractor Dealers. Time now for NFL Sunday. It's a special NFL Sunday on a Monday night. Broadcasting from the best yet private brand studio.
With Super Bowl champions Christian Fourier and Jermaine Wiggins. Alongside Andy Gresh and Rich Keefe.
NFL Sunday is brought to you by
Ketch's Law Group. The personal injury pros at ketcheslaw.com. The New England Recovery Center in Westboro, Mass. Zooty. Build any app your company needs in 1 week. Visit Zooty.com for details. And the New England Kubota Tractor Dealers.
NFL Sunday.
With Fourier, Wiggy, Gresh, and Keefe on WEEI.
Into hour two of this special edition of NFL Sunday, Andy Hott of WEEI.com joins us a half hour from now. I know Rich Keefe was showing us during the off-air show some video into the Keefe bat phone.
Wind is a problem. Wind is a problem in the game, especially, I'll just say it, I have Nick Folk in fantasy, and yep. I am concerned. You should be, too. Yes. If you have Tyler Bass or Nick Folk in fantasy, forget about it. You need 3 points, you're not getting it. They showed, I think it was Barstool had a video of just all by himself, kicking tee out there, not even a holder, not a snapper, not a defense in sight. Tyler Bass kicking an extra point into the wind. It stopped at like the 5-yard line and just dropped.
We're not laughing at Keith. No, we're laughing at Bill B. Hoodsworth, who is
doing a pregame interview. I'm sure he's thrilled.
That's the Army Navy this week.
He's got the Navy mask on. You're right, Keith. It's Army Navy. Fourier. And it is a, I mean, there's like chalk all over that sweatshirt he was wearing. Oh, and he had on the
maybe he's like
the
LeBron
winter hat.
Pregame.
He
throws the
that could be like just donut powder.
Could be. Powder donut.
That's what it could be. It could be powdered donut.
So we will get to the big storyline of the game, and it is brought to us by Cars for Kids, the easy way to donate your car. Donate today, and your car can be picked up tomorrow. Go to carsforkids.com or 877-CARS-FOR-KIDS.
Is it wind?
Wind is really like it, right?
Mother Nature.
It is the big story. But, guys, there it is right there. Live from Buffalo, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, especially with Mac Jones, who's never played in any conditions like this at all. Not
a little windy out here today.
Yeah, not in Alabama. damn sure not in Jacksonville did you ever play in conditions like this. No.
Coldest weather game that Mac Jones played in, according to some of the college literati, is, believe it or not, they played a game in Arkansas last year where it was 34 degrees. And it was in December. It was early December. So it's one of those.
I didn't realize Arkansas got that cold.
Me neither.
And he was 24 of 39 for a little over 200 yards. However, let's get into Patriots offense against the Bills defense. We know the Patriots want to run. I guess, guys, the question is, do the Patriots have different wrinkles to the run game that they can roll out if they've got to run it 50 times?
I say yes. I think they're
like
they have, well, I just, they have, you can run it out of one back, you can run it out of two back, you can run it out, you can run a heavy set, you can run a YY look. I feel like they're the best team in the AFC right now as far as being able to morph into whatever offense they want. If you want to run traps, you want to run ISOs, if you want to run angle blocks, if you want to run, you know, zone blocking, they can do it. Like, I literally think they have the personnel for it. Their offensive line can do anything. They have a fullback on their roster.
I was just going to say, is this a big Jakob Johnson night?
I mean, downhill blocking, I feel like it's always going to be part of their game plan. Like, when you get your game plan, so first and second down install would be Wednesday, there's going to be a lot of Jakob Johnson regular formations, you know, plays with him in it. Like, always.
And especially with this
bread and butter plays
weather, and every run, it what you'll see is them just change up formations, change up personnel groups, like Christian said, but still run the same play. Whether you run it, if you're running a trap play, you can change up the way you're running the formation. You motion a guy, you know, across the formation. You motion a guy into the backfield. You start to run him, like, so there's a lot of different things that you do. That in every week, you're probably just adding on to your existing game plan, but you still have your I formation, basic, you know, lead ISOs that you're going to see, or your powers or those type of things. And now it just becomes, can you beat the guys in front of you? And if you're able to do that and you're able to see both, we don't know. It's almost like Damian Harris, Ramondre Stevenson. It's like pick and choose nowadays who even is the lead dog.
But, Keith, I know there's the formational stuff, but what about getting guys like Jonnu Smith and Kendrick Bourne involved? Is it too tricky on a night where there's bad weather? And that's a part of what I also mean in expanding the running game more than just Stevenson and Harris.
I have no faith in Jonnu Smith, so I would leave him to the side. Yes. Kendrick Bourne, though, does seem to have a good connection with Mac. So even if it's sort of a shorter extension of the passing game, fine. If you want to hand it to him, that's okay.
Yeah, you'll see some reverses.
Bourne can do that, too. Because I don't think the Bills' run defense is as good as their stats say. I think they kind of beat up on some teams earlier in the season. There were some lopsided games, so teams just stopped running the ball against them. They had a couple of shutouts early on. And I know 11 games for them, it's a big sample, but they really feasted on some of the crap teams. Three of the teams that were able to run against them, the Colts, ran all over them. Right. And I know they have Jonathan Taylor and the Patriots
they ran for 264.
Yeah, that's
them.
It's an inordinate amount of yards.
It's not
they
like,
ran
oh,
for,
Taylor
right.
squeezed out 100 yards. The team ran for 264. The Titans and the Chiefs, and the Chiefs don't even have a great running game, all went up over 100 on them. So I think the Patriots have that type of formula. Again, they don't have Derrick Henry. They don't have Jonathan Taylor. But I think as a running game with the running backs and the offensive line, I think they're capable of running.
Then I would have to look like what you, when you talk about the 260 game, because we had Bill on, and we were talking about the 270 game that they gave up on the ground to.
Right.
Who the hell was that when they gave that up?
That was to the Titans
right.
without Derrick Henry.
But Bill talked about a lot of that stuff is skewed because there were a couple big runs in there, 60-yard runs. So, you know, when you look at some of those games and you're talking about those Buffalo Bills games where they gave up, how many of those games where it was like somebody ripped off a 50 or 60-yard run that led to these numbers kind of being
even,
out of whack?
Even that 270, if you take out the big runs, I feel like it's still like around 178.
Was it?
It was a lot. It was still a lot. There was the, because Lou and I were, I think it was like a 68-yarder and then a 40-something yarder when the one guy fumbled. So it was still like over 160 yards rushing. I mean, that to me, that's not, hey, let me just, let me play a front to coax them into running. They couldn't make the tackles.
Yeah.
They couldn't do it.
No, that was a problem. But here's my flip to that. I know we're going to get to it, Gresh, but I would just say the Bills' rush defense, I think it's not as good as advertised. The Patriots' run defense, also not great.
No.
But the Bills' offensive running backs don't have the ability to exploit that. Or I think Harrison Stevenson can. Singletary, Moss, Breda can't.
No left guard Feliciano,
and
who didn't get pumped up today.
And go back to that Colts game against the Bills.
Who'd they play last week, the Patriots?
Who? Patriots last week?
Yeah.
Titans.
Yeah. What was that running back's name again?
They were bad.
Right.
So but the Titans, as a team, Bills, I feel like run the ball.
But even though the Bills, I don't really buy into that one, because when you say that there's no their running backs are not very
good. Yeah, okay.
We've seen this Patriots
Hilliard and those guys
a week ago get like, who the hell was this guy? Christian, you just brought it up. They rushed for $170 with two guys we not even heard of. One guy didn't even look like a running back. The guy with the dreads didn't even look like a running back.
The Bills haven't even done that to even bad run defense.
Here's the overall numbers for the Bills by player, right? Singletary, 98 rushes, only 98 carries on the year, 459 yards, 2 touchdowns. Number 2 rusher, Josh Allen, 69 carries.
He's their best rusher.
383 yards and 3 scores. And Zach Moss, 75 carries, 265 for 3.5 per carry.
3.5.
And 4 touchdowns. And Breda has been the guy who has, as of late, he had 21 rushes, 109, 1 score. Very small sample size. So to your point, Rich, it's a bunch of dudes, but Josh Allen is a big part of that run game.
Yeah, he'd be the guy, if I'm the Patriots, I'd be the most worried about having big gains on the ground and moving the ball.
I'll give you something that is sneaky big in terms of the offense-defense matchup. Do you know what the Bills are on third down this year? Now, Wiggs and Fourier, you guys know that, and for like, Keem and I only played college, and it was, boy, if we can be 35% on third down, that'd be great. It's really more like 40 in the pros. The Bills are at 50% on third down this year. Yeah. That's a big sample size to be that good on third down.
See, I was going to say, like, I would say that, sure, if you can get, you know, 40%, great. But when you, if you can get, I would feel like 37% is kind of like, if you look at, like, the average of the best in the league.
A little more than one third, right?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. And then if you're 50%, that's really good.
Yeah. That is amazing.
You know, based on the amount of chances that you have. And so they're 50%, huh?
70 of 140.
Wow.
So that's not a small, again, 140. You're looking at, what, 15 a game?
And then I'd like to see, like, you know, like, thinking about their third down percentage and breaking it down. Like, how many times are they in third and short versus third and medium versus third and long? Because then obviously that plays a major factor into it. So if they're really good on first and second down, now they're sitting there at, let's say, third and, because third and short is usually what? Third and 3 to 5? That's what they consider third and short?
Yeah. Believe it or not, Jermaine, I actually have these numbers for you, believe it or not.
Oh.
So for the Bills on third down, they have been in, let me see here. So it's third and one. It's been like 7 pass plays, 8 rushes. But
no, I don't care about that. I just, how many times are they in third and one? Like, third and short is, you're probably right. It's like third and three and less. Third and medium's probably about, you know, 4 to 6, and then anything over 7 is considered third and long.
So third, 1, 2, 3, and 4, they are. So the Bills are like 57% on third and one, 75 on third and two, 57 on third and three, 71 on third and four, 54% on third and
or
five.
Or as Bill would say, third and manageable.
Right. Third and manageable, right.
But see, I think I want to know how many times were they in third and less than three, because that shows me they're winning on first and second down. And how many times are they in, let's call it, third and, you know, 4 to 6? And then you know, like, okay, what did – so a lot of times, if you see that they're in third and short, third and, you know, 4 or less, then you know, hey, the Buffalo Bills are really doing a good job, especially on first and second down, to put them in third and short.
Third and 4, 9 plays. Third and 5, it looks like 12. Third and 6, it looks like 11.
Okay.
So they're in third medium a lot. Yeah. However, you want to know those first down deals, Wiggs.
Yep.
Like, they do not throw the ball on, they throw it on first and 10 175 times. Mm-hmm. They've thrown it on first and 10 108, but they're averaging on first down about 4.5 yards per play. But when they throw it on first down, they're averaging 8 yards per play.
That's pretty good.
So a lot of numbers there.
It is. There's a lot there. But we gave it to you because the breakdown does matter. When you hear a team is 50% on the, like, if the Patriots defense were 25% on third down, holding Bill 20, we'd be like, the best defense.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, that would be amazing. Bills defensively are holding teams to 33%. Now that gets to the Patriots defense matching up against the Bills offense. So is this a game for the fats? because you know they're going to run the ball. And they brought up can you help me with the name, Keith? I get the guy's name wrong all the time.
I have no idea how to say it.
I have no idea. Hawaiian guy from the Brad is a shimmy. I know you know.
Ekwale.
No, I honestly don't. They brought up the big Polynesian from the practice squad. Run that much.
I don't, even in the weather. And if they do, it might be a Josh Allen situation. Mm-hmm. I think they're still going to do the Steph Diggs is their best player. You got to feed Steph Diggs. Cole Beasley can catch it short, and Dawson Knox is having a good season. So I think those are going to be the three main guys. Maybe Singletary hits a big run or something like that, but those other guys that they just kind of hand it off to, I don't think can really make you pay. So I think it's going to be just Josh Allen winning for him.
And then the other thing is you look into the wind. The wind plays a factor in, okay, which direction is it blowing? So now let's say the wind's at our back in the first quarter. Maybe we throw it a little bit more versus in the second quarter where we start to run it a little bit. So that would be something to look at, because say Buffalo does have the wind at their back, they might say, let's take advantage of throwing the football now that we got the wind at our back, and maybe we're not going to run as much because we have that opportunity.
Well, this is where the coaching comes in, too. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a lot of times where, you know, end of the first quarter, maybe you see somebody burn a timeout to force them to have to kick into the wind rather than wait till the flip and all that. Like, there's all these little things where, you know, Belichick is just obsessed with
it. Oh, yeah. Bills
like, he loves any type of advantage you can get with weather games.
So,
he's all about it.
So last time they played, and when they got their butts handed to him, so Stephon Diggs had like 9 for 145
or something. And three touchdowns.
Yes. Right. So it was like a record by the Bills. And I want to say, was that a J.C. Jackson game?
Yes,
I cannot remember. I feel like he just got his
Gilmore
ass
was
to
out.
Him.
Gilmore was out. Gilmore was already went out down in the game. I forget what it was.
Because it was late. It was in December.
Second or last 20th.
So. Curran mentioned with us last hour that he thought the Patriots had checked out in that game, and those numbers kind of throw it out the window.
Stephon Diggs caught like a crossing route at like 5 yards and ended up going
like, meep, meep.
Yeah, it ended up going like 30 or 44 tug. So, yeah, you look at that game. But that's why I wonder what they do with Diggs. Do they double him and say, all right, you're going to have to beat us in another area?
Or is it a lot of zone again? And that's because I asked Curran that, and he thinks that because Allen's ability to run, if you just man everybody, then he gets out, now they all have their backs to the quarterback, and that's where he gets 15 yards. And that's where in years past, there's been a lot of mobile guys that have run on him. And not even like Lamar Jackson mobile, just guys that can kind of can move a little
bit. But see, those ain't design runs, right?
Not design runs.
Those are
at
like
all.
Broken passes that he ultimately. But that means I think you have to do, it goes on my Lamar Jackson theory.
Build a fence. But that's why maybe you see zone. So even though I think it would be cool to see J.C. Jackson on Diggs and just see how he does, like that's a hell of a challenge, you really might not. He might just have sort of a side of the field.
Is there anybody on the Bills offense that you're really worried about other than Diggs and maybe Allen running? Like, is there somebody lying in the weeds? Are you worried about Beasley in the slot? You know, we know that the weather's going to be bad, so is there a running back who has the ability to shine here in this Bills offense? I mean,
well, I would go back to Josh Allen, honestly. Like, I know he's the quarterback, but just the point being, like, I think he can spread it around a little bit. And even though Emmanuel Sanders has been a letdown and hasn't done much, in a game like this, where I think possessions probably will be so crucial and maybe it is going to be sort of a kind of an ugly game at times, if there's somebody, like, is he capable of still hitting a guy 25 yards down the field, you know, for a touchdown or something like that? I think he's still capable of it. So it might not even be just one guy that's individually really great, but the random Gabriel Davis touchdown, we're like, what the hell? But Allen hits him because of how good he is.
What I'm waiting for is, I feel like Allen usually has like a quarter or two where you're like, holy cow, that was a close call. Like a near-death experience, a quarterback version of that, where holy crap, like Mac Jones had last week where the linebacker really should have taken that interception. Mm-hmm. One caught it, and two ran it back for a touchdown. Totally averted a disaster. Because what Steve Tasker was on, he's talking about how inconsistent, you know, the Bills are as a team, especially their offense and just how they show up and they don't show up. So, like, there was this article on ESPN3 about how the Buffalo Bills, based on their numbers and their analytics, we're like the most inconsistent team since 1983 based on how many times they're supposed to show up. And like, that to me is like, so how do you trust a team like that? Like, how, if you're a coach, like, I get it. I mean, everyone's got a stinker. So you call it, you know, the Jacksonville Jaguars. That was their stinker. Then you lose to, you know, then you slip when you have an opportunity to beat the Tennessee Titans. That to me is just screams, you know, Brian Daboll has not quite fixed Josh Allen.
Yeah.
It just that to me is a problem. So who's going to show up? The guy, Josh Allen, who still feels like he has to prove something? Not the guy that was, you know, that threw for all those yards. The guy that feels like, you know, he's still like the little brother and still wants some respectability for his team. That's going to force the issue and not listen to his offensive coordinator. We'll see.
But I think the thing that concerns me is the Josh Allen making a play with his legs.
Oh, for
that,
sure.
That to me is where it's like, oh, you're in third and long and you got the great coverage, everything, you know, and then next thing you know, Josh Allen runs for 30 yards and you're completely.
Truck somebody.
Yeah, he completely takes the wind out of your sail. And now it's like, all right, you keep the drive alive, you flip the field. Those are the things that I get more concerned about when you play that Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Kyler Murray type of player.
Defensively, are you employing spies or does the fence work well enough that you don't have to go that route to be able to deal with Josh Allen?
See, I think let's use – can we compare Allen and Lamar Jackson?
No. Yeah.
A little bit.
No, I don't know if anybody's like Lamar.
Drop back passing, not designed runs. Drop back passing, their ability to get away and run.
No.
No, why? Allen's more like Herbert or somebody like that.
Yeah, Allen is.
He's not an elite sprinter like Lamar Jackson.
Allen will be more patient in the pocket, but please go what road you're working down here because I think you're on to
something. Well, my thing is that you look at the two guys with the least amount of sacks was Josh Allen and Tom Brady, and Lamar Jackson being the other. I think. In a way, Allen is more dangerous than Lamar Jackson.
I think Allen is more like when you're talking about running closer to Patrick Mahomes, better than him as a runner, where he's not going to go crazy like Lamar Jackson.
But he will go crazy. That's the thing. There was his rookie year. I feel like he led all quarterbacks in rushing. Like he's a runner. Like, he's a big physical dude. So my thing is, do you use a spy?
I got a perfect example.
Hold on. Do you use a spy?
Who would it be?
Right. I don't think you need to.
Well, you know who he is as a runner? Cam Newton.
It is a little Cam Newton style.
Where it's big physical. Yeah. It's not like Lamar Jackson is more, in my opinion, Michael Vick-ish, where he is the fastest guy on the field.
And you're also going to dial up more design runs for him. You're not going to do that as much.
Yeah, but take out the design runs. Just like I said, it's third down. Mm-hmm. It's a drop back pass.
Yep.
Stuff's getting hairy. I'm feeling a little uncomfortable.
Right.
Okay. Feel like I need to escape.
Right.
And again, some guy with red sleeves is all up in my face. Right. Uh-huh. Okay. So that's where I think I feel like the Patriots being as old and mature as they are at the right spots. Don't need to have a spy.
Gotcha.
I don't think they need to. I think they're disciplined and well coached enough where they won't overrun him.
Right.
They won't give him. Listen, he'll get a play.
Right.
Like, and I think they're tough enough
Give you one.
Yeah.
Right.
So
he's
average
to pick a game. Basically.
Don't let him score a touchdown. Yeah. Don't let him run 70 yards. Right. But it'll be a third and 20, and he'll run for a first down.
But that's
and you'll be like, damn it.
But that's the kind of run I would say is that he's closer to Cam than he would be Lamont.
So, I believe it or not, I can actually buy a little bit of what Wiggs is saying here from this standpoint. With Lamar Jackson, he will run first to try to avoid someone in the pocket, and that's where he gets himself in trouble because he will roll right or left, whereas Cam, when he'd make a decision, it's normally north-south pretty quick.
Yeah.
Same for Allen. I think the difference is the decisions those guys make in the pocket. Lamar wants to escape outside. Mm-hmm. That's why he gets bottled up or he gets indecisive. Rather than Allen, a lot like Cam, if they're going to pull it down and go, they're making the decision because they know they can go north-south.
Because you'll also see Lamar also kind of spin, put his back to the... And so now, like, there's no way you're going to throw it. Or if you do, it's going to be some miracle thing. Whereas Allen and Cam would both kind of probably keep the play in front of them.
Right.
Maybe elude a guy, go, or still throw a dart.
And that's where I think Fourier might be right. Early on, it'll be, we're going to stick to our principles, and we're going to try to do it with pass rush. But if that starts to break down... Then to me, the next layer is to kind of have that guy, you know, third and 11.
Well, then I think it's the guys up front. It's your interior pass rush. Your interior pass rush don't get higher than the quarterback.
There you go.
The outside guys, we can get higher because you're right. Lamar Jackson is like, you know, running one way, stopping, running back the other way, stopping.
Yes.
You know, he's going east and west. He's turning a lot like Kyler Murray, except the fact he can't throw as good as Kyler Murray. So you see him, like, do a lot of pirouettes and make guys miss. Whereas if you get outside of Josh Allen, he might step up. But when he sees that lane open up in front of him,
it's north
that's
south.
When he's going to. So you need your interior pass rushes to be very, very pass rush disciplined.
Yep. Got to keep the fence. That's really what it is. I'm just saying, Wiggs is not wrong. It is the fence. A guy who's once jumped over a fence to get a chicken. Here's Shime. He's ready to trend.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
NFL talk more often. It's a special NFL Sunday on a Monday night
with Fourier, Wiggy, Gresh, and Keith.
WEEI. Really, just having a hard time just standing up, standing still.
Time for Andy Hart at WEEI.com to come blowing in at 7:30 here on this special edition of NFL Sunday. Andy Hart joins
wind
us.
Bowl. You worried about the wind bowl at all?
Andy Hart joins us thanks to McFarland Energy, your Mitsubishi Diamond Elite contractor, where they can very affordably heat your three-season room with a Mitsubishi ductless hyperheat unit. Please visit McFarlandEnergy.com. We'll get Andy Hart up here in mere moments. So the word from Buffalo is that when you're going to the non-tunnel side,
all right,
that's a real problem, and the footballs are all flying right as they're being kicked, but apparently going the other direction.
Okay.
I guess it's okay, Keith.
So there's a chance.
There is a chance.
So half the game, the kickers can feel okay. The other half, they can't.
That's
so
right.
Again, Belichick's loving the stuff. He's loving the strategy part of it.
There's a chance.
I'm telling you.
Andy Hart of WEEI.com. You used to make all those trips to Buffalo, right, Hart? Like this seems like an all-time miserable night up there.
It's up there. It reminds me of the 2008 one with Matt Castle, where goalposts were blowing, players would get off the bench, and the bench would blow away. Like, there's some legit weather games up there in Buffalo.
All right, Andy, I'm going to ask you the question that got Buffalo Radio and Bills Mafia all fired up. Who would you rather
have? What's your name, sir?
Who would you rather have? It's none of your damn business, and I thank you to stay out of my personal affairs.
Who would you rather have, Mac Jones or Josh Allen?
Do contracts come into play?
No. Let's say for right now, we're just talking about the next 10 years. Who would you rather have?
Josh Allen. I think he's a better player. I think he has better pure skills. I think he's mastered, or not mastered, but certainly become a runner only when necessary and a true passer. I don't know what Mac's going to be. I mean, Mac is really good. He's off to a nice start, 12 games. Yeah, sure, love it. But he's not an MVP candidate. He hasn't been to an AFC title game. And I don't think Josh Allen is done growing. So I would take Josh Allen, and I wouldn't even hesitate.
I say that on the morning show, and they laugh at me.
No, I actually agree. That's why it's funny that I was getting so much heat for the question, because I actually agree. I just was curious what other people thought, and I was looking for the answer. And I can't believe you'd even ask that.
Yeah, the Bills people should have been screaming at me. Right, instead, they're screaming at you, because I'm the one who really likes Mac Jones here. But off of that heart, tonight we know it's a unique circumstance, because I can envision tomorrow morning, if I can be a little unfair – yeah, I know the wind was blowing, but he was 18 of 34. That's not good. Well, my man Wiggs here just kind of clowning around a little bit. But in all seriousness, what kind of expectations can you realistically have from Mac Jones tonight, given the weather? Does he need to be perfect?
I don't think he needs to be perfect, because my guess is neither quarterback is going to be perfect. And you're going to have some plays where they learn that, oh, I can't do that right now, going in this direction at this part of the field, whatever it may be. And you hope that you learn that lesson by a ball blowing out of bounds or blowing into the turf and not blowing into the hands of the opposition. But, you know, I've said all along, the one thing you have to give Mac credit for, or the benefit of the doubt, he's answered every challenge. No matter what they've thrown at him from April through now, he's answered every challenge, winning the job and, you know, being asked to do more at certain times, like just everything about it. So that would give you reason to believe that he's going to approach this at least with a strong mindset and a strong confidence. Now, there's still the physical there. And, you know, I was watching, he looks cold out there. He's got his little, first of all, isn't the little snorkel scuba thing supposed to be tight? Why is his baggy?
Kind of a loose like fit. That. He wanted the loose fit one.
It's like a dry suit.
Yeah, so he can breathe. He needs a little room for breathing.
I didn't care for it. That actually already gave me a little reason to doubt him. He didn't look like he was. And then Josh Allen's down the other end with just a regular beanie on and just kind of throwing the ball around. So if I'm going to go based on pregame warmups, then I think there's reason to be concerned about Mac Jones. But
why we go to you, Hart, for this kind of detailed breakdown. We're like, this guy looked good in a hat. This guy looked good in a scuba suit, so I don't like him.
Look good, play good. Deion Sanders, right?
Look good, play good.
Andy, when you look at this game, I think we've been talking about this. Who does the weather, which team quarterback, you throw those all up in one pot. Which team does the weather benefit the most?
I think it benefits the Bills just because it's the home field advantage. They've played in this, not a ton. You know, they haven't practiced in it a ton. I was kind of joking around on Twitter that, you know, Bill said, we've practiced in everything, hot and cold and wet and dry. Well, you haven't practiced in this. You haven't practiced in blizzard-like conditions, which we had a little while ago. So there's going to be a learning experience, especially for some of, you know, the newer Peyton Mac would be atop the list. But I don't know how many weather games Kendrick Bourne has played in, or Nelson Aguilar. Well, I guess Nelson Aguilar in Philly, and certainly Jonnu Smith, but Hunter Henry. You know, you have a lot of different players on this offense that are experiencing this, if not for the first time, they don't have a ton of experience in it. So, you know, I think that's something the Patriots need to prove that they can overcome. Now, I know the narrative all week was, if it is windy, well, it favors the Patriots because they run the ball better, which my defense was all, or retort was always, well, how come the Bills average more rushing yards per game if the Patriots are the better rushing team? But I don't want to get caught up in the details.
You love that stat.
I do, because people have just been so, like, bitchy about it. The Patriots run the ball. They're the dominant run team. The Bills couldn't run it the length of you-know-what. Well, they have. They have this year, and they have a running quarterback. I'll be honest with you. I'd rather have a running quarterback in this game than a non-running quarterback with these conditions. So I still think, even though people perceive that it's a Harris-Stevenson slam dunk, they're going to run their way to victory, I still think the Bills have the home field advantage and the weather advantage.
So, Andy, I remember in games like this, I would hold my breath always on the punt return. So that punt return, when that ball would go up in the air and it would be swirling all around, I was like, even if he had the most – you know, resilient, just, you know, confident guy back there. You didn't think he was going to catch it. So, I mean, I guess the question is, you know, how important is special teams today? My favorite section of the game.
Oh, huge, huge. And it's what Bill, even last Friday when Bill was kind of dismissing the weather and saying, well, I'll worry about the weather when I get to Buffalo. Well, now you're in Buffalo and the weather's a major issue. But he was saying it's going to be the kicking game first, whether it's Nick Folk, the punting, you know, Gunner. It could be a game where they, if the Bills punt or if the Patriots, the other punt returner may not even attempt to return it. It may be one where you just let it bounce. And wherever it stops bouncing, you take over. Because, again, I was watching some of the warmups, and there was Jake Bailey had one that left his foot and then just took a hard left into the bench area. So it is going and it's probably – I mean, it's gusting winds, so you can't even say, well, the last punt did this. Well, no, because it's 15 minutes later, 12 minutes later, and it may do – something different. I know the Bills actually, basically their top two returners are inactive. So I would certainly look for the Bills to not plan on having a lot of returns in the punt game or the kicking game. And it won't surprise me if the Patriots do the same and everybody just, if again, if they even punt, if they even kick, who knows how bad it gets. They just let the ball bounce.
We're gonna get the CFL, spread them out, rugby punt. It's coming, baby. Right. It's just college, right? What you see at college all the time. Yeah.
Back in 08, Matt Cassel had a third down quick kick, you know, because it was so bad. And it was like a 70-yard Matt Cassel punt. So, yeah, I think you will probably see something tonight that you've never seen before, whether it's a decision or a weird bounce, a weird, you know, ball blowing around. I think these weather games I enjoy because I think they do add an extra element of entertainment, and I think you will see something you probably haven't seen before.
Andy Hart at WEEI.com with us on the Harbor One Hotline. This is the other big question that has been asked as well. Who's this a bigger game for, Hart, Buffalo or New England?
Buffalo, definitely Buffalo. I don't even think it's close. You know, you're trailing right now. You're supposed to be in the middle of your little run here of dominance with your $250 million quarterback MVP guy taking over. And you're looking up at the Patriots in the standing, and you're in a key game, must-win game in December in your home turf, and you lose this. Now you're looking upstream at heading to Foxborough in a couple of weeks for the 26th. Now that becomes an absolute must-win game. And so I just think for their fan base, for their standings, for everything that goes into it, this is not quite a must-win game for the Bills, but there's a ton of pressure on Josh Allen and company.
Is the winner of this game the best team in the AFC? I know what the records would be, and I know what the standings would be, but would you feel confident that the winner of this is the best team?
For now, but not overly confident. I mean, it's the AFC, so ask me in a week.
Right.
And I was actually, you know, I thought Robert Griffin said something really interesting on ESPN tonight, RG3. The Colts, I mean, the Chiefs are the only team that can go on like a month-plus winning streak, and everybody just rips them nonstop. Because if they don't win by 35, and if Mahomes didn't throw it behind his back left-handed for touchdowns to Tyreek Hill, it's not good enough. Every other team winning is all that matters. It doesn't seem that way for the Chiefs, but the Chiefs are on a roll too in terms of winning, just actually putting a W in the win column. But yeah, I mean, the Patriots, I mean, if they go in, they went into LA and that's a great win or a good win against the Chargers, you know, now go into Buffalo in December in 35 mile an hour winds, when there is some pressure on you to stay atop the standings. Yeah, I think you have to say the Patriots are the best team in the conference if they win tonight.
Andy Hart at WEEI.com. That's where you can read his work. Hart, enjoy it. We'll catch you later. Thank you, friend.
Thanks, guys. See you.
End of this version, excuse me, or this edition of NFL Sunday, sponsored by the Catches Law Group, where you pay nothing unless they win at CatchesLaw.com. Zuti, build any app your company needs in a week. Visit Zuti.com for details. The New England Recovery Center in Westboro, Mass., and your New England Kubota tractor dealers. Now, after the game until 2 a.m., you're going to get the real post-game show.
Ooh. All right. Whoa. Very good.
Here's a Fred Smirlus tweet from a minute ago.
Oh, this is the big one. This is the big one from
now,
Fred.
This guy is betwixt and between, right?
Yes.
Listen to this tweet. Talk about walking. Literally, he is now pushed Glenn Wardway off the fence to prop his big ass up on it. Here's Fred's tweet. The two best teams in the AFC clash in Buffalo. Bills have home field advantage, but the Pats have been on a winning streak. I think the Pats may eke out a win. Either way, it's going to be one of the best games of the year.
Is that Magic Johnson?
Yeah,
Magic
Johnson.
It's a Magic tweet.
He is working, but he doesn't want to scrub that hit in Buffalo for $500 a week or whatever. We love you, Fred.
Do you guys make anything out of this? The Bills, if you want to say one possession, 7 points or less, is a close game. Mm-hmm. The Bills have only played 3 close games this year, and they've lost all of them.
Hmm.
Does that matter at all to you?
Yes,
okay.
It does.
Yeah, okay.
It does.
All right.
Because I do think there is this. This is my angle for this game, and that's part of it. We have a good record, but we haven't really had done what we thought we could do. We haven't won those close games. Mm-hmm. We got run out of the building by the Colts and the Patriots. I feel like they have had some really important wins. They've had some obviously some,
but they haven't had
losses.
Close game wins.
No, and they haven't been blown out. Yeah. They haven't been blown out.
Was it close?
Chargers was close.
The Chargers made a comeback. But
even
I would say
the Texans game was close.
So
whatever
we're saying, okay, as far as like what the Patriots are saying. I think you twist it, turn around, and that's their angle. Like what they're saying in Buffalo, they need a signature win.
Yeah,
like,
they need a Kansas signature City, win. That's it.
And that was early in the season
right,
when Kansas City didn't have a clue what they're doing. But still, quality went good.
Accounts.
But I would say now, okay, in December when it really matters and you're vying for the pole position in the conference, good luck.
What is it like to play in Buffalo? Our Super Bowl winners tell us that next on this special edition of NFL Sunday.
It's a special NFL Sunday on a Monday night. We're right back to it with Fourier, Wiggy, Gresh, and Keith
on WEEI.
No, I don't think they were ready for the Patriots to be back this quick with the dominant run they had for so long. It just felt like with the parity that exists in the NFL, maybe everywhere except New England, that they just all assumed that New England would be down for at least a few years.
That is former Bills offensive lineman Eric Wood, their current color analyst,
Curly Q,
who joined Gresh and Keefe last week. He is
the big blonde curly fro going.
That's right. He's hanging out in Louisville now. And
oh, wait, he doesn't live in Buffalo?
He's
flies
hanging out,
in for
yeah,
the games.
Flies in for the games, huh?
Like you have to live in the city. The
That's
game
what I
that you're calling.
Thought.
What is that about?
No, we're talking
Where's
about
your loyalty?
He's like, yeah, I'm walking my dog. It's 65 degrees here. We're like, whoa, okay.
I think he made like $40 million, so
probably.
He's probably got 2 houses.
Doing all right.
Doesn't Jake DeLome do that too, where he flies
into? Yeah,
he
does.
We talked to he was in Louisiana or something like that, and went flying to go do the games in Charlotte. Well, you guys have flown into Buffalo, where I have heard from many, many players over the years, it is the most unique locale in the National Football League. Well, it is depressing.
It is. You know what it is? It is the gulag of the NFL.
Well, there we go, right? It's Siberia.
True story.
Please, this
true
is what
story.
I want to know. What is it like to play in Buffalo?
Forget about the Buffalo, the stadium, the city, okay?
Not
the true story. You flying from Seattle, you get in a day early, so we always go watch a movie. You go into downtown Buffalo.
Ugh.
True story. Tumbleweeds.
Nothing.
Rolling down. I'm not kidding. Ask Jeff Fiegels, longtime punter.
Call Jeff Fiegels.
I was sitting there going, first of all, it was like a ghost sale. It was a Saturday.
Right.
It's like October. It wasn't like freezing cold.
Place.
No. Where is everybody?
Tumbleweed.
All my kids. A freaking tumbleweed rolling down the middle of Main Street, downtown Buffalo. They went to the movie theater.
What'd you say?
Okay, I feel like all the movies were like one of those old movie theaters where it's like, hey, this
they
movie
has been out for like 2 years.
It's in video. It's in third video stores.
The future.
No, yeah, they're in video stores.
Batman
wings.
One.
Yeah. No, the movies that they were playing were in video stores.
Right.
Like in Blockbuster. I was like, what? So then you drive into the stadium. Nothing but empty, dilapidated, freaking warehouses that have just been abandoned.
It's in a neighborhood.
It's just depressingly sad. Because I remember we had guys that used to live in Canada.
Right.
Like, they would commute because they hated living in Buffalo.
So
they would
like
commute.
Toronto or whatever?
Yeah. So they would commute and make the drive because they hated living in Buffalo. Now, listen, I'm sure it's a beautiful place.
Well, you don't need to.
It's a
beautiful
place. Buffalo is like Cleveland. It sucks.
No, Cleveland.
I don't hate Cleveland.
Cleveland's not bad.
I honestly don't hate Cleveland.
Buffalo
sucks.
Buffalo, if you're going to compare it, Buffalo, the only other place that might be worse than Buffalo is, what is it, Appleton, Wisconsin? When
yeah, but
it's
got some charm to Appleton, Wisconsin.
Lambeau Field compared to...
You don't stay near Lambeau Field. You stay like 40 minutes away in Appleton.
There's literally nothing to do.
There's literally nothing.
Yeah, but I would say, but I know the town you're talking about. There is some like, mid-American charm to it.
Is that what you call that?
Yeah.
He's not buying it. It's a good ice cream stand.
Yeah. It's like,
hot dogs.
You have like the old school ice cream stands with the soda pop and, like little candy stripers and all that stuff.
Yeah, you go there.
time for the candy stripers.
Maybe that's what you saw when you were under the other day in the hospital.
It's a Norman Rockwell picture.
You walk by the cobbler. This guy's that's
what it is. Aunt B's got the pie resting right on the windowsill.
Appleton, Wisconsin.
Out there staring at it.
Appleton, Wisconsin is literally like the town from Back to the Future.
Is it really?
Yeah, they're clocking everything. Yeah, but Wiggy, it's got more that place.
But that
Buffalo
is what it is. Like Buffalo's
like
a city,
something from like a movie, like Area 51.
Yeah, there's nothing going on in Buffalo.
So were the fans as crazy? Like I don't remember when the Bills Mafia thing became a thing.
I don't remember.
But when you guys played like early mid 2000s, were the
didn't
fans
seem like they were that bad?
It wasn't like this, right?
No.
That's a newer thing.
I'll never forget. Now the weather is an issue in Buffalo. One of my worst weather games ever was in Buffalo. I will never forget this game. This was the 2000 season. We played Buffalo at the end of the year in Buffalo. And I'll never forget. Everybody was like, don't wear sleeves. Don't wear sleeves. So there was
hard ass.
Right. So there was no rain, no snow, no sleet. There was just cold. Then the second half, it's like the sky opened up. It was sleet. It was freezing cold. And we were playing on that old AstroTurf.
With the crown.
The crown.
So it was like playing on concrete. And it was freezing. And the winds were like 80 miles an hour. But it was sleet. And you know when you get hit with the little sleet pellets, it hurts? I'll never forget. I was sitting on the bench next to Terry Glenn. And we're just looking at each other, and we're in like the fourth quarter, and we're just saying, man, is this game over yet? And the game goes into overtime because they miss a field goal. We botch a field goal. It was so cold. When I was lining up in a two-point stance, in the slot, I couldn't even look up because the sleet.
Oh, it's coming at you
the
like
sleet
that?
Was, it was so bad the way the pellets were hitting my face. Oh,
terrible.
It was the worst
thing.
Did you
guys win?
We ended up winning.
You did.
We ended up winning like 13-10.
That might be tonight.
Yeah.
So I have been told by former NFL players that as you are riding in on either bus one, bus two, or bus three, you get a bit of a different reaction as you ride into Buffalo. They're waiting for bus one. They're ramping up on bus two. Mm. But bus three, watch out because they might throw stuff at you. I've been told by a former NFLer that he saw an 80-year-old woman moon him. Lawrence Guy also dropped this.
Hey, I just got mooned by an old lady.
Yep. Have either one of you been mooned by, have you seen 70-year or older ass mooning you riding into the stadium, boys?
No, I never seen it. They would throw stuff at the bus, but I never got mooned by
lady. No, I don't, like, the city for us, for me, was always the Raiders. It was the Buffalo was never, I guess, good enough. I feel like we ever even noticed it.
So what I think happened
is, I don't know where this Bills Mafia came from.
I don't know either. I need to look into this. But I think what happened was they were so good in the 90s, mm-hmm. and then they kind of dipped off, but they'd make a playoff appearance here or there. And then it was like there was a stretch where they were bad, but they had recently been good, so they weren't just crazy at the tailgates, and they weren't just insane.
2010, says Bills Mafia was created.
Because from 2000 to 2010, they didn't make the playoffs for that 10-year span, and so
they needed an excuse.
We need to entertain ourselves because the team sucks. So let's jump through tables and light each other on fire, and then it became a whole different thing. And then now they're in that weird spot where, hey, your team's actually kind of good now, so do you still want to have a circus in the parking lot, or do you want to go watch a game? I mean, I guess it's your call.
Buffalo was the first place where I go, wow, these guys are massive. When we played Buffalo, this was the 2000 season, and they had Ted Washington, Pat Williams. Yeah.
It's Sam Adams, didn't they?
They had
he came the next year.
No, he came the next year. They had Hanson. You remember Hanson? The white defensive end.
97 or something like that.
Yeah.
They had Cornelius Bennett.
Oh, they still had him.
Really?
I caught the tail end of Bennett. And what was the other guy? Tully?
Yeah, Daryl Tully.
Daryl Tally.
Tally.
It was kind of a badass.
This was nice.
Good guy. There were leftovers from those.
This was 2000 when I played up there in the Jets game. It was like my first bit of action. And I was like, wow.
I'm in the NFL.
These guys. Yeah. That Ted Washington.
There was a mystique.
Pretty big boy.
I get the mystique, though, that comes with Gillette, because there was some mystique when I came in and played Buffalo my rookie year in like 95, and they had just went through all that run of all that success. So there was a mystique playing on that field, like all the big games, all the great players, all the future Hall of Famers. And I remember being somewhat like a tad bit intimidated by like, wow, this history of this place. Bruce Smith was all these guys were on their field.
Bruce Smith
but I remember like it lasted for like a hot minute.
Yeah.
And then we realized, oh, those guys aren't here anymore.
These guys blow.
The king on offense.
Bruce
been
Smith is in Washington now. Yeah.
Fourier, I know you're leaving us.
Yep,
Patriots plus three. What do you got? Give us a pick.
Patriots plus three. Well, I got the Bills winning, but I'm going to take the points. So I'm going to take Patriots.
Oh,
okay.
We got the contradiction.
Oh, no, no, no.
I'm on record.
The
Bills will kick the Patriots' ass on your show.
No, that was our
then
one.
Then he saw this win.
Then the win and Mother Nature. I was like, holy crap.
Damn it.
I'm like, Luke, do I have time to change my pick? And therefore, I think the Bills are going to beat the crap out of the Patriots.
It's good poll, Sean.
Sean pulled it for our open.
Save it if it works.
If not, it'll be in our open tomorrow, 10 a.m. Fourier, thanks. We got another 15 minutes here. We'll break this game down with Wiggy and Keith. Your special edition of NFL Sunday continues.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Time now for NFL Sunday. It's a special NFL Sunday on a Monday night. Broadcasting from the best yet private brand studio.
With Super Bowl champions Christian Fourier and Jermaine Wiggins. Alongside Andy Gresh and Rich Keefe.
NFL Sunday is brought to you by
Ketch's Law Group. The personal injury pros at KetchesLaw.com. The New England Recovery Center in Westboro, Mass. Zooty. Build any app your company needs in 1 week. Visit Zooty.com for details. And the New England Kubota Tractor Dealers.
NFL Sunday.
With Fourier, Wiggy, Gresh, and Keefe on WEEI.
Down the home stretch. Kickoff is at 8:15, and that's what we'll take you right up to, 8:15. Where the Patriots are taking on the Buffalo Bills, mid-30s, 22-mile-an-hour winds. According to ESPN, a 31% chance of rain. No acropalion needed there.
Nope, don't need them, but it's going to be nasty. It's going to be gross. It's a weather game.
And Keen is very worried. He needs 10 points to win a fantasy game, and he's got Dawson Knox, who might make a catch.
And Nick Folk is going to miss every kick going on one end.
Do you watch the regular Monday Night Football
or
the Manning cast?
I can't stand the Mannings.
I don't like the Manning cast.
Okay, I'm with you.
I don't like how... You would think, with all that money, you two would at least be in the same room.
Nope.
I can't take the, like, three Zoom people.
I feel like we've been doing a lot of Zoom for a year and a half.
Like,
I don't need or 2 years.
One guy, the guest is trying to answer, and Peyton's, like, yelling and screaming about the formation, and Eli's kind of, like, trying to ask a question. It's a lot, like.
No. And no current players are on again because they are afraid of the curse. No active player has gone on and then won the following week.
Wow.
So they're all terrified.
So it's
once
like the
again,
Madden cover.
It is. Maybe even worse. Mm. So tonight it's like Letterman. Aqib Talib actually will be good.
Aqib Talib will be good.
But people can send me what the clips
are. But why not
that.
Just have them do it from the broadcast?
I don't know. This is probably their deal.
It
said,
is.
I don't want to leave my house. And they're like, okay, whatever you want,
Manning. Yeah, I think Peyton
is the one who funded what is called Omaha Productions, mm-hmm. which is that big room that he is in for what he does. And then they clearly have a satellite link for Eli. I don't know where Peyton and Eli live. I'm assuming it's not relatively close for them to be able to buy something
Louisiana,
like that.
Somewhere like that.
Whatever.
I feel like it messes it up just because of the delay and the Zoom and, you know.
Yeah, it's not for me personally, but yeah. I think Aqib Talib, I bet we'll have a couple of highlights of him. Right. He's entertaining.
My mindset is to win. That's like the best. Oh, my God.
So he's a color commentary guy now.
He is. He's not chain snatching anymore. We know that. No, apparently, he and
they made up.
Crabtree made up. Yeah,
at a go kart track. They were both there with their kids and like their nephews and stuff, and they almost fought and then didn't.
I mean, what are you fighting for, anyways? Like, really?
At this point, you're both retired. Just time to move on.
Like, even in the game, like, what do we really?
Yeah, who knows?
We're throwing punches and we both got helmets on. I'll never forget. I learned
never
that lesson.
Punched anybody in a game.
No, not
you're smart.
Not
you don't punch somebody with a helmet on.
I got to like a couple fights in practice, but it's never
both with Steve Smith.
But no. And I never went helmet punching. I went straight to body shots.
I was going
to
say,
that's
smart.
What you do. That's a veteran move.
I never, because you know why? My rookie year, I never forget, I was in practice for the Jets. Fred Baxter got into a fight with one of the offensive linemen, punched him in his helmet, broke his hand, and was done for the season.
So two things are dumb about that. One, you punched your own teammate. And two, in the helmet he was wearing.
Yeah.
Like, you kind of deserve to be up for the season.
I always thought if you were going to head with the helmet, you were grabbing the face mask to try to either pull them away or to pull them down so you can get the uppercut ski in there.
Oh, right to the chin?
Yeah.
Especially if you have one of those Aaron Rodgers, like, delicate, not even really a chin pad, little strap.
Did you have the body shot?
Did you have the big, thick chin strap wigs?
I had the plastic, but then... You got to remember, so my first year in the league, when I got to New England, Ty was here, and I was a big fan of, like, Dion, and I said, all right, here's what I'm doing. No pads. I'm unbuttoning chin strap because it looked cool.
It looks great.
No mouthpiece.
No, nothing.
Oh,
super unsafe, but it looked awesome.
I was so...
it's awesome.
I was so unsafe, but I did look cool. I used to take
great. I bet he looked awesome.
I used to cut the pad pockets.
Yeah.
I used to get the little surgical knife and cut them out, and so it was nice and smooth.
Oh, yeah, I bet you were fast. Fast as could be.
As fast as could be. But that was one of the reasons why I did it. I always said I wasn't that fast. And so when I had the pads in, it felt like it restricted me.
Of course it did.
So then I never wore pads, and I always wore the lowest cleats ever. Because I wasn't a fast guy, and I felt like this all made me fast.
How many thigh bruises did you end up with?
I mean, I had a couple.
He looked like his own creative player in that, but he was doing the real thing. It's incredible. Dreams come true.
But my swag was cool, though.
I bet.
My swag was definitely cool.
They've changed the rule on the chin strap thing, because you used to be able to run around with your chin strap unbuckled. But I think now you have to... buckle it up.
I had both of them unbuckled. I had, because
so
Ty used to go with
no mouthpiece. Like, you don't realize how dangerous that actually is.
That's the concussion.
All you got to do is Google, like, you know, my football images, and you'll see it. I used to have both unbuckled. So I had, like, the Aaron Rodgers chin strap where it was, but it was just two buckles.
Yep.
But I had the extra ones just for, like, you know, just for props. And I had the...
didn't fall off the helmet.
I had the hard plastic chin.
Did you go towel?
I went towel.
Oh, and towel's a nice look. Towel sharp.
I got to pull up some pictures, but it was all...
But you're playing tight end in the NFL with no pads.
Now
it's back when safeties can hit you.
Did you see the wide receivers in the Alabama game? Not a one of them had their knees covered. I'm surprised their knees don't get blown out on on hits because they're not protected at all.
No, I feel like eventually they're going to go back. The refs are going
to
enforce that a little bit more because now they're like showing it off. It looks like they're running around like shorts. Like
I think that's
going to change. Although you've seen those little pads, that's not you're going to blow your ACL out either way. Like those little pads.
You
might cut down on like a minor bruise or two, but I don't think they do a whole lot for you.
This special edition of NFL Sunday is brought to you by the Catches Law Group, where you pay nothing unless they win at CatchesLaw.com. Zudy, build any app your company needs in a week. Visit Zudy.com for details. The New England Recovery Center, Westboro, Mass., and your New England Kubota tractor dealers.
Wiggy's Minnesota Vikings picture, not a single pad on him. He's got shoulder pads and a helmet. Nothing else.
I used to wear it like that. I didn't even put the metal clip on it.
No.
We are 5 minutes to kick off, and let's get to our picks. Now, Last week, which feels so long ago.
I was going to say.
We had the Tampa and Indy, Cleveland and Baltimore, Tennessee and New England. Coming out of that, I am the leader at 20-13-1. Keith, you're right behind at 19-14-1. Foyer is at 18-15-1. And Wiggy at 15-18-1.
Okay.
So at one point, I think Jermaine was 6 or 7 under 500. Huh? So you're creeping up a little
bit. There you go.
Still a lot of season
left. I'm going Oppo.
A lot of season, 18 weeks plus the playoffs, so we got a ways to go.
All right, so Wiggs, are you going Oppo tonight with Buffalo minus -3?
I'm taking New England. I think New England's going to win this football game.
Woo!
Going outright. I agree with Wiggy. I think they win outright as well. I think it's going to be ugly. I think it's going to be, again, a close game, and the Bills have lost every close game they've played. I think when you get into, I know we've talked about the weather a lot, but I think there is a little bit extra strategy in a game like this, which, again, I think favors a Bill Belichick coach team. Even with the young quarterback, I think that part of it helps. Again, it might be some little thing. It might be some little nuanced thing. But I have a feeling, Gresh, tomorrow morning we're going to be talking about something that Bill did that maybe not every other coach would have done in the circumstance. And I think they get a win. I would even, as a bonus pick, probably going to go with the under. Just don't feel great about a ton of points being scored. Both these defenses are pretty good, by the way. And then you throw in the fact that it's just a brutal place or a brutal night weather-wise. So I'll take the Pats and the under.
Depending where you're shopping for your number, I know Scrim just said that there's a 39.5 out there on an over-under.
That's low.
It's Sportsbook Rhode Island. It's now down to 40. So that has come down a little bit. So as we've gotten closer to kick,
I'll still go under.
Seeing the weather.
I'll give me like a 20-17.
Kind of feels like that's such a tough number because
it is.
Like, you know, it's almost like, excuse me, you're going to get 2 touchdowns.
But happens,
with the wind with the wind being as bad as it is. By the way, if you like the Patriots on the money line, you're getting plus money. So it's plus 125 right now.
That's what I would do.
Bet 100, win 125. I'm kind of with you. Is that you can probably go Patriots plus 3, take them on the money line, and also go the under.
So we're all going Pats.
Pats and under. I would go Pats.
But we did that a couple Thursdays ago, and we all got that one as a nice little bonus pick that week, right? Were those updated in the standings, by the way?
They should
be. That was a nice win for everybody. Yeah, and then we all took Pats in that blowout win on the Falcons.
Yes. By the way, for the two-team parlay, if you like the Patriots plus those points and the under, I'm looking at Sportsbook Rhode Island right now. You
that?
Can play it plus 250 on those odds.
Have a little fun tonight.
$50 gets you 125
Monday night,
on an under and the Patriots, and you're getting points, by the way.
Great night for football. When you're home, toasty in your house, drinking a beer. So,
by the way, Gresh and Keefe Halftime Live will be a thing at Gresh Keefe on Twitter. That's where you can also get us on Instagram. It'll be me, Keefe, and Shime breaking down the game at halftime. And for those of you that are out and about and you might be heading out to look for a place to go watch the game, you could always go to the WynnBET Sports Bar where Jermaine Wiggins will be over at Encore.
I'll be over at Encore. I'm going to head over there now. I got like a little Patriots, event.
Nice
like
little
that.
Appearance.
Yeah, so come through if you're over there and, you want. They have a nice,
WynnBET Sports Bar.
Book, whatever it is.
Looks
they
good.
Have some really good seating over there, and all the televisions is pretty cool. So, and you can either go to the Shake Shack or Frank and Nick's. So get some good food.
Get a nice little dinner.
Shake Shack,
Super Bowl champion.
Yeah. Keith's wife showed up one day with Shake Shack. It was unbelievable. I couldn't believe it. It was awesome.
That was very sweet.
Yeah. I'd never really had Shake Shack before, so that is delightful stuff.
Pretty good.
All right, there we go. So it's only a matter of time here before we find out what's going to happen with the Patriots and the Bills. It is windy out there. Now the real postgame show will come your way. So when the game is over, it's Glenn Wardway, Steve DiAsi, and whatever's left of Fred Smirlis.
Oh, Fred. What does he do right now? Freddy. What is he doing? Bills legend, but yet also Patriots homer.
That's right.
So where does it?
Played for both teams. He's got the split jersey on.
He hopes both teams.
He's from around here, so it's kind of like,
even though he is in the Bills, ring of fame or whatever they call
it. He's one of the greatest Bills players of all time.
Yeah, he is.
Borderline Hall of Famer.
Yes, he is.
Yeah. Sure. He's also a Hall of Famer because he can't move his arms anymore. Uh-huh. His elbows have seized up.
That's taking on a lot of offensive guys. We'll do that to you.
And passing on a lot of checks, too. There we go, Fred. Anyway, the real postgame show comes your way after the game. Shime produced it. If something went wrong, blame him. Wiggy will be back with Greg Hill tomorrow morning, 6:30. Bill Belichick will be joining the Greg Hill Morning Show as a part of Patriots Monday on a Tuesday. Keith and I will talk to Lawrence Guy, Marloni, and Foyer at 2:30.
talk to Mac Jones. We'll see you then. Enjoy the game. We'll talk it all tomorrow here on WEEI.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.